This is Daylight Magazine, coming to you from Adventist World Radio Ghana, the voice of hope.
AWR Ghana, voice of hope. Voice of
hope. Today's Daylight Magazine has segments designed with you in mind. Stay tuned and be blessed.
Information, give me Jesus,
operator.
Information, give me
Jesus on the line.
Operator,
information.
I like to speak with Jehovah. Said I want to tell you what I'm going through. He said he'll be right there by my side. Operator,
information.
Give me Jesus on the line.
Operator.
Information,
give me
Jesus on the line. Operator,
information.
I like to speak with Jehovah. Said I want to tell you what I'm going through. He said he'll be right there by my side. Operator of
information,
give me Jesus on the line.
Operator,
come now.
Information.
Let's reason together.
Give me Jesus on the line.
Ride on the wings of the comfort.
Operator,
the Holy Spirit.
Like
he is the operator. Oh yes, call upon me in the days of trouble, and I will deliver you.
What
a blessed assurance.
Information.
Give me
Jesus on the line. Operator, information, give me Jesus on the line.
Operator, information, give me Jesus on the line. Operator of information.
I like to speak with Jehovah.
Said I want to sing in praises while I wait for my cause to get through to Jehovah, man. Operator of information.
Give me Jesus
on the line.
Operator of information.
Information.
Give me Jesus on the line.
For our reflections, we shall look at Genesis chapter 22, verses 7 to 14.
As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham,
Father.
Yes, my son.
Abraham replied,
The fire and wood are here, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering?
Abraham answered,
God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. This way.
And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven,
Abraham, Abraham.
Here I am,
he replied.
Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son.
Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket, he saw a ram caught by its horns.
Lord,
he went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son.
Oh.
So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided."
You just listened to the audio version of Genesis chapter 22, verses 7 to 14.
What do you choose? Eternal damnation in hellfire or eternal life in a golden city? Hell was not made for any man but the devil. Dear listener, don't allow him to deceive you to sin, to join him in hell. Accept Jesus Christ today as your personal Savior. Get baptized into a true Bible-believing church and live daily for the Lord with the help of the Holy Spirit. Your eternal life will be guaranteed. God bless you.
Dear listener, today we bring you the concluding part of the topic Christian marriage. Enjoy.
You asked about rings and Bibles. Let me speak first about Christian marriages. Incidentally, Christian marriage could be the most simple. It doesn't prescribe any attire to wear. Usually people dress in European fashion. Suits and gowns and so on. The law itself doesn't prescribe anything. You can put on your cloth or your t-shirt if that is your desire.
What you can afford.
If that's
or
what,
that is
you
what you like.
That is what you like. It doesn't prescribe that wedding rings should be presented at all costs or Bibles should be presented or exchanged. So that is, those are matters entirely at the discretion of the couple. But increasingly these days in customary marriages,
yes,
those things find themselves on the list. And if it has been listed, then it becomes a requirement. Most people will list a Bible. I don't know about rings, but yes, Bible, it is very common these days that a family will, among others, list a Bible as a requirement.
Okay. We have a text message from Brian Skoka. He says, "What will you call a marriage that has been celebrated at a municipal assembly and the ordinance had been signed, but the couple decide to receive the blessings of God in a church?"
Thank you. I think
it opens another dimension to
it. It opens, but let me say quickly. So far, I think we focused almost entirely on marriages celebrated by marriage officers or ministers.
Ministers, yes.
Okay, but in very early on, I mentioned registrar of marriages,
yes,
and principal
registrar of marriages.
So, registrar of marriages are the ones, the type he mentioned. You could go to a municipal assembly or this assembly and declare your intention, the desire to marry in writing. Once you fill a form and declare that intent clearly, they will also publish a bus by putting up notices.
Yes.
And after expiration of the period, which is required by law, you go there and be joined. by the Registrar of Marriages. That is also
marriage.
Marriage under the ordinance of a Christian marriage.
Sure.
If you subsequently went to church for a blessing, you are only blessing an already existing
marriage,
a Christian marriage.
It is so. It's not the blessing that makes it.
No,
you are. But already, what happened at the municipal assembly?
It makes
actually
it
makes it
a Christian marriage, and they will issue to you a similar certificate as the ministers issue. Again, the principal registrar of marriages, who is the registrar general, can give you a license if you swear to an affidavit. That the principal registrar of marriages finds convincing that you qualify to marry. There is no impediment, but for a good reason, maybe you cannot wait
for that love
for the publication period, yes, of the bans and the period. He can issue you a license which can entitle you to marry at any place. It doesn't have to be a licensed place.
Yes.
And it doesn't have to be by a licensed minister. And that can also entitle you to dispense with the requirement for the publication of bans. So all three, whether under a certificate, special certificate by the principal registrar of marriages, or whether you did it at the municipal assembly and it was celebrated by a registrar of marriages or by a marriage officer in a church, all three, they fall under the Christian marriage, and it is ordinance marriage, as we used to call it.
You've been mentioning bans. Can you briefly explain to our listeners?
It is an announcement of a sort in which you mention the names of the prospective couple and announce that they have decided to marry, and that this is a notice to the whole world that those two people intend to enter into a Christian marriage. It is intended to avoid fraud. I have said earlier that Christian marriages are monogamous marriages, so bans must be published so that if either of the prospective couple is already married or is in some form of relationship, the affected individuals could enter caveat or raise objection. And once a caveat is entered, the person going to celebrate the marriage must carefully investigate before he decides whether to put a halt to it or proceed. So that when we talk about publication of bans, that is what it means.
Thank you so very much, Counsel, for spending time with us this evening. There are a good number of questions that time would not permit us to ask. We'll be seeing the possibility of probably having another session on marriages, because, like I said, marriages are very essential and central. And if we say we're going to look at it in its entirety, one program would not be enough. But we will look at the possibility of coming back again on this issue of marriage. Ladies and gentlemen, we would like to thank you so very much for spending time with us this evening, Radio Lawyer. I think by this time, a good number of you would have actually known what marriage is all about, the various types of marriages that we can have under Ghanaian law. We've not gone into the Mohammedan's marriage. Maybe at another time, we would make time to go into it. But I believe that it's been very beneficial. I believe it's been very helpful. And so, God willing, next week, same time, we shall meet and discuss another interesting topic. If we do not, I think we'll continue with marriages. We'll continue with marriage and then continue with spousal rights. Once again, we are grateful for your time and have a blessed evening.
So I dance the rain on the roof. Tell my soul that my spirit's on the loose. Don't know if anyone will understand. Feels like an angel's got a hold of my hand. So I dance.
For any inquiries or contribution, you can contact us on 233-2087-04532 or 0244-235017. or email us at radio@vvu.edu.gh or through the postal address Adventist World Radio Ghana, P.O. Box AF 595, Adenta, Greater Accra Region, Ghana. We will expect your feedback.
AWR Ghana, Voice of Hope. Voice of
Hope. Every time you roll the way, no matter what you, huh? All you ever said before, no matter what it was the truth. Every time you spoke a word, the voice of God was being heard. I know it was true. It was the truth. It was nothing but the truth. Only truth comes from you. It was the truth. It was nothing but the truth. And it's all you can do. All you've ever done before, no matter what you've chosen, it was right.
You were always right.
Every time you willed away and everything you've had to say, I know it was right. It was the truth. Even nothing but the truth. Only truth comes from you. It was the truth. Even nothing but the truth. And it's all you can do.
Only truth. Loving truth.
Loving.
Only truth. Loving truth,
only
truth. Loving truth,
only
truth. Loving truth.
You know it was your word, and it was the truth. Ever loving truth, you are always right. All you do is real. Truth comes from you, and it's only you. Turning to the pages of the Bible of the ages, it was real.
All you do is real.
Everything you've written down, I will depend on being sound. I know it was real. It was your word. It was nothing but your word that inspired those men. It was your word. It was nothing but the word that will teach us again. All you ever said before, no matter what it was the truth.
Never loving truth.
Every time you spoke a word, the voice of God was being heard. I know it was true. It was the truth. It was nothing but the truth. Only truth comes from you.
It was the truth.
It was nothing but the truth, and it's all that you can do.
Only truth. Loving truth.
He's waiting and watching, watching for you.
Beloved in the Lord, we would like to thank the Lord so much for bringing us together once again in Moment of Truth. And I pray the Lord himself will grant us understanding as we listen to his word. Father, may you speak as they listen in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue in our series, The Holy Spirit and New Tongues, as we study more about the Holy Spirit, its workings, and tongues, what it really meant. A person who is filled with the Holy Spirit does not necessarily speak with or in new tongues. But the evidence of the Holy Spirit's presence in one's life is seen in a change of life, through bearing of fruit, called the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Speaking in tongues, what is its purpose? The first occurrence of tongues in the Bible is seen in the story of Babel, when men rebelled against God. The whole world then spoke one language, as recorded in the book of Genesis, chapter 11, verse 6 to 9. And the Bible says, and the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they purpose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. So, the first speaking in tongues and the speaking in other languages happened in a place called Babel. At Babel, people spoke various languages, and the groupings dispersed over all the face of the earth. It simply means, when I hear you speak English and I understand, I move with you. When I hear you speak Chi and I understand, I move with you. So God began to disperse the people in their various languages upon the face of the earth from the center of Babel. That was the first time people begin to speak with other languages. And all this language that was spoken at Babel had meaning, because they spoke languages of men that they understood among themselves, and they were dispersed accordingly, according to their various languages. And the purpose for the first tongue was to halt man's rebellion, and for God's purpose to scatter people abroad upon the face of the earth be fulfilled. That was what happened in the Old Testament when God created other languages. But in the New Testament tongues, let's have a critical look at it. The first scene of tongues in the New Testament was on the day of Pentecost. And it came upon the disciples after 10 days of prayer. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4 to 5, Christ told them, do not depart away from Jerusalem, not go out to preach the word, stay for the promise of the Father, which he has promised to bring the Holy Spirit upon you. And on the day of Pentecost, in chapter 2 of Acts, there were about 16 or more countries or nations who were gathered there with their various languages from their various countries. These are Jews who are scattered abroad, who are in the diaspora, in their various countries, their various languages. They have come to Jerusalem for the Feast of Harvest, also called the Feast of Pentecost, to celebrate it. And now God wanted these various people who are his children all over the world from these different countries to go back with the knowledge of God, with the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, who has come to die and has resurrected. And God wants this good news to be spread abroad. And how can he reach this multitude with different kinds of languages? So the Holy Spirit filled a disciple to speak with other languages, to speak with other tongues. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible says, on the day of Pentecost, that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. And the Spirit gave them utterance. They speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. And the multitude heard them in their own languages in which they were born. So, on the day of Pentecost, the people were not babbling, whatever it is. They were speaking languages. And verse 6 says that, and when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Verse 7 says, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, not all these who speak Galileans, and how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? So on the day of Pentecost, there were tongues, and the tongues were spoken languages. They were existing languages, and the disciples never learned, but God gave them power to speak, that they can reach the multitude of the nations which were there with Christ's good news and his resurrection power. So the purpose of God giving the tongue on the day of Pentecost was to reach the heart of people with understanding, with meaning, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And on that day, 3,000 souls were added to the church because they understood the gospel and they gave their lives to Jesus Christ. Act 2, verse 41. That is where we see speaking of tongues coming in. And tongues, beloveds, are given for the purpose of proclaiming the everlasting gospel for the salvation of souls. Anything than this is a deviation from the reality as recorded in Acts chapter 2. Now, every known tongue was represented by those assembled that day. And this diversity of languages would have been a great hindrance to the proclamation of the gospel. So God, therefore, in a miraculous manner, have to supply the deficiency to the apostles. So the Holy Spirit did for them what they could not do for themselves to accomplish the purpose of God by speaking other languages of the people gathered there so that they can hear the word of God, as the Bible says, in the very languages in which they were born. That is tongues, beloveds in the Lord. It has got meaning, that God transforming power, and people hear it and their heart attached because they have understood the gospel and they surrender their life to Jesus and they are baptized into the church of God. They become God's children. It wasn't barbarian, wasn't a kind of gibberish that they were speaking on that day. They were speaking real languages unlearned by the power of the Holy Ghost. Father, as we continue this series, may thou give all our listeners understanding. Let your blessings be upon them. In Jesus' name. This is Pastor G. Y. Aguado speaking to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you very much for staying with us. Once again, you can reach us on 233-2087-04532 or 0244-235-017 or email us at radio@vvu.edu.gh or through the postal address Adventist World Radio Ghana, P.O. Box AF-595, Adenta, Greater Accra Region, Ghana. We will expect your feedback.
AWR Ghana, Voice of Hope.
I believe today's magazine has been a blessing. May the good Lord's hand be in your life. Amen. Remember to tune in same time tomorrow. Bye for now.